What's up, Ethan? Welcome back to the greatest Houston-based podcast in the world, the Weekly D Podcast. My name is Danny G, and today we got special co-host, producer Mr. AOZ, joining me today for a wonderful conversation. This is the greatest Houston-based podcast of the weekend. God damn it, dude. My eye is itching. These goddamn allergies, dude.
You know what's funny is that I'm gonna leave it in there because our intro is a countdown.
Right?
It's funny because then it's like, oh no, the countdown. The countdown disappeared. And it's a perfect beginning.
See, you know, I'm just a content creator, bro. That's what I do. Like, for real, though, my eye is itchy.
God dang.
You ever get allergies where your eyes just itch like crazy? You don't know why?
I went through that like 2 weeks ago. Two, three weeks ago. I would wake up on my way to work. My eyes are itchy, and I'm just sitting there like crying.
And they're just burning, and just right?
Crying, and I'm like, dude.
Yeah, see, I don't create enough tears in my eyes, so when my allergies act up, my eyes just dry out. It's the worst feeling in the world, dude.
You're like, not enough tears. Mama ain't raised no bitch.
Exactly. But what's up, buddy? How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good.
I tried being cultured.
Before we get into it, did you watch the video I sent you today on YouTube? How hard did you get through it?
Maybe like 4 minutes, but it was also kind of hard to...
Jesus watch. Christ, only 4 minutes? It was a 45-minute video. It was hard to
watch when there was all kinds of language coming out of it, and I'm sitting there in my quiet office. I don't want an HR issue. Gotcha. But also, like, I wanted to break it down by, like, the lyrics and everything, and I just kind of wish that I had, like, subtitles so I can actually see, like, what was being said.
So I just found the one video that I could find with all the diss tracks on there because I wanted to talk about it. But if you're not cultured enough, it's okay.
I mean, I've heard things here and there of, like, certain lines that have been said.
I mean, it's all over the internet. They're literally breaking it down.
I've seen a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Here and there, but I've been on a... in the past 24 hours, I've been on a Falling in Reverse
binge. Falling in Reverse, okay.
It's a band name.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Nice.
Yeah, because they just did a collab with Tech9.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, huge fan of Tech9. I got.
So it's really nice because it starts off like as like a screamo, and then they have like another artist who I think he was mainly like on TikTok. He was pretty famous because he did like really good growls and everything. And he does like his own music, and so they added him to do like the super deep voice, and then Tech9 came in like towards the middle and like rapped.
Nice.
But I noticed that here lately in some of the like newer like releases or whatever, Falling in Reverse has been kind of mixing in like some rapping, and then going into like the screamo.
Nice.
Music.
Nice. I haven't listened to them yet. I'm definitely gonna have to go check them out.
Yeah. The when they go into like the breakdowns and everything, I think it just sounds nice.
Yeah. I'll have to check them out. Falling in Reverse. We'll definitely put them on my Spotify list tomorrow.
Yeah, the one, if you ever heard of Papa Roach, Last Resort? So they did a re-image of it.
Okay.
So if you look that one up, you'll know that one. That one's a pretty good one to start with.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll definitely go check them out. So you have not kept up at all with like the greatest rap battle beef. Nope. That's been going on. And
apparently it's been going on for the past couple of years, and it's reached a peak.
The peak. We're all about the peak, right? Like, Kendrick Lamar has not... He's mentioned that he doesn't like Drake from the beginning. But, like, we're at the peak right now where Kendrick Lamar is dropped back-to-back fucking diss tracks. He's destroyed and Drake's image. He's called Drake a colonizer, a pedophile. He's just, literally proven why... You know, Drake may have the most singles in rap, but he's really just a pop star when it comes down to it. Because Kendrick has washed him, bro. I'm surprised you haven't been keeping up with it. I thought you liked hip-hop more than that. But I see you're uncultured.
There was a time where I listened to like a lot of Drake. That was like back in like 2010, 2011 when he first came out. But there was also like some of the where like Lil Wayne was releasing, I think, like mm-hmm. what was it, Carter 3? Yeah, Carter 4?
During the Young Money, Cash Money era.
Yeah, so he was doing that, and then like I was listening to him, but I was also in the transition of like really listening to Eminem.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't really hear about him until like I got into high school. So that was like sophomore year, I think. I really started listening to him. And I was like really enjoying the Lil Wayne and Eminem collabs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Eminem with like B.O.B.
Yeah.
And like all those. So you got ones.
Like out of prime Eminem. You didn't get like hardcore rapper Eminem.
Yeah, more mainstream. I went back to listen to a lot of it.
Okay.
But Not Afraid, which I think was like Recovery. I think that was the album. Uh-huh. That's kind of where I started.
Okay, so you started at the worst phase of Eminem.
Well, I mean, I liked the way he rapped in Recovery and stuff. And then I just went backwards, and then like I've been keeping up since. I think
Recovery is like one of his least popular albums Revival. Of all time. Is it Revival?
It's Revival.
Okay.
Yeah, Recovery, I think, was the one where he like really.
That's the one where he
more. It was like when he got sober.
No. That's the thing. Like before Recovery, he was the biggest name in rap.
Yeah, but I'm saying like because he kept like relapsing and everything that was going on. Yeah. Like Recovery was kind of like the comeback.
Yeah. It also wasn't like one of his best albums.
No, it wasn't.
Like if you look at it as a whole, like it was one of his albums that wasn't the best. He didn't have that song with Rihanna, the Monster. That one was pretty good.
That was on there.
Yeah.
Not Afraid, and I can't remember what other songs. Too. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Fuck, dude, he blew half my idea of the conversation was to talk about.
I mean, my bad, dude. I mean, I
gave
heard...
you homework. You didn't fucking.
It was kind of hard to do it in the middle of work.
I researched your topic.
It was kind of hard to do like in the middle of work.
No, I got you.
I'm trying to hear to you. Like the N word and.
The F word.
Yeah, the F word and everything.
And the pedophiles and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, we barely get through like Mexican OT being played in the shop.
Goddamn, okay.
like barely. Nobody says anything, but the shop is right next to like the big boss's office, so it's really kind of hard to. Yeah. So if I was working at a different shop, away, because like mine is like the main office, if I was away from all the big bosses, yeah, definitely I could be jamming that and everybody would be listening to it.
Yeah, no, I got you. Okay, so let's throw that out topic. And I actually got an honest question for you today. You know, we've been talking a lot about like mental health and depression and how life's a motherfucker, but you just gotta keep on chugging along.
Yeah, I also might get in trouble for the last episode.
Really? Why? Yeah.
Because I was...
Did you say too much?
Not the forgotten episode that's going to release this week, but the one before that, when I was kind of venting about the situations that happened.
Gotcha.
I was editing it, and I sat there and I was like,
You done said too much.
I think I said too much.
It's okay, I feel like I say too much sometimes. That or
no, maybe it was the forgotten episode. I think it was the forgotten
one. Yeah.
Fucking
camera. I know the forgotten one. We were both venting.
Yeah.
Going off of the clips, I was like, oh.
Yeah, there was a lot. I chose a few, and then, like, I think I picked one where I was still talking about, like, her sister and everything.
Uh-huh.
And then the other ones were, like, you talking about your stuff or kind of going off of, like, that kind of thing. But when I was editing as a whole, and I was kind of going through it, I was kind of like, damn.
But see, that's the beauty about that episode is, like, we were just having an honest conversation.
Yeah.
Like, there is no filtration, no cuts, no edits. It was just me and you being straight up with one another, venting out.
Like, I mean, it might have sounded like I was talking shit, and I kind of was talking a little bit of shit, but...
You're throwing some, shade.
But is it really throwing shade or talking shit when it's the truth?
See, that is the key point, right? As long as you're saying the truth, it's not necessarily talking shit. It's just saying the truth.
Yeah,
understanding your opinion.
Yeah, so then I showed Nicole, like, I didn't show Nicole, but I explained to her, like, this one clip that I know I'm gonna get tagged in as, like, a collaborator.
I mean, I don't have to tag you as a collaborator.
I mean, you can. I really don't care. I'm not, like, if she says something, I'm not gonna listen to it. I'm not gonna answer any phone calls or text messages, but I barely talk to her as it is anyway. But I kind of explained what happened in the clip, and I was like, I'm listening to it, and it sounds like I'm talking shit, but I'm not.
I mean, you were saying something, like, you had a really good point in it.
Yeah, it was about, you're not a product of your environment.
Exactly, like, yeah, but you had a lot of beat to
but there was also a lot before that, before we got there.
Uh-huh.
So, like, your input kind of made it, like, turn a coin a little bit, but
wait,
so I told you, no, like, you made it sound not so bad, because you're like, it just goes to show that you're not a product of your environment. But then after I told her that, she was just like, well, I don't want to hear it. And she's like, but you might end up hearing it, because unfortunately she watches the show.
Who?
Her sister.
That's fine.
I was like, I wish you would have told me that before I started venting.
Nah, it's all good, bro. Honest, that's one of the things I love about this podcast, is that sometimes we're a little too honest.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're a little too honest and we're just venting, and, you know, sometimes we say some shit where people can relate to, right? But at the same time, you're just like, oh, I'm gonna hear about this one later.
I think the forgotten episode, I was talking about my cousin.
Yeah, and I was talking about my dilemma with the grill. Remember cooking all that chicken?
Yep. I'm just sitting there kind of like, damn, I really need to stop venting so much.
You know what's funny is, like, as we're growing and we're starting to get more eyes, I'm starting to realize that, you know, we probably should think about what we say first, but that would take away from the genuineness.
But at the same time, when you think about it, we're getting old.
Yeah, we're just having honest conversations.
Getting closer to Jesus,
right?
Really not giving a fuck.
Well, we didn't have anything. We're just fast tracking it, right?
Yeah, I think we just have, like, that old people syndrome where they're just like, I don't care, I don't give a fuck. I'll say whatever I want to say, no filter.
Buddy, I've always had that syndrome. It's gotten me this far.
Yeah, me twisting things around got me this far. Me being brutally honest, I kind of don't know what the outcome is going to be, but at the same time, I just don't care.
You know, best advice, dude, I've ever been told is just be genuinely you. Don't care what anyone else is going to think about it. Don't worry about anyone else's opinion. Just be you. Don't let anyone change who you are, how you think, or why you think that way. You know, as long as you're happy internally, you shouldn't have an issue with it.
You're like Jasmine, authentically yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice you said. That I remember that clip, and it's kind of stuck with me. And I'm like, yeah, that's nicely said. No arguments there. That's really how you should live your life.
Just gotta be you.
Yeah,
be you and do you, boo.
But it's kind of crazy too. Like, listening to that podcast, you know, as it's being recorded, and then, like, after it's been recorded, kind of shifted a lot of things, I guess, for you and me, like, mentally.
Well, you know what's funny is, like, right before that recording, I was already going through, like, a personal change, right? Like, I remember the week before we talked about it, where I was like, oh, you know, I'm trying to change my life, trying to, like, take one day at a time, you know, slow down a little bit, you know, try to focus myself mentally, spiritually. And honestly, I've been looking back at some of our clips, and I feel like since before we had Chelsea on, like, you could kind of see the shift in my mentality, where I was like, you know, I'm going to try to start going to church more, try to be a better person every day, you know, shift my mentality to being happy, because, I mean, depression's a motherfucker, and it's real. You know, and it's a real thing we all deal with, especially as we get older, especially as men, like Latino men and stuff. Like, I feel like that's one of the things that gets slept on a lot, is how we're naturally raised to be like strong, powerful men that are prideful and, you know, never show emotions. But obviously, it's not a healthy way of living. It makes me think a lot more about things, like, especially like after having that conversation with Jasmine as well, where she was like talking about living life intentionally, you know, doing everything with intention. And then just like the conversations we've had the last couple months, it's really made me shift my focus and mentality. And I feel like kind of the podcast has shifted that way too, where we have real conversations now, right? Where we talk about like our flaws, about our mental health. I think it's a beautiful phase that we're entering in life, to be honest.
I just feel like it's just showing whoever listens, whoever watches, that, you know, we're human too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and everybody's going through the exact same thing, and it might be in different phases of your life, but everybody goes through something. Everybody has issues.
Oh, for sure, dude. For sure, for sure. You know, that's one of the things I always think about, like, with my dad, right? Especially recently, like a couple weeks ago, one of my uncles passed away. And I know my dad was very close to him, and it was just weird seeing him deal with the loss of his brother. Because, like, he just completely shut everyone out. He tried to play cool, like, it didn't affect him. But when I talk to him, like, I get little spurts of it where he kind of breaks his wall down a little bit and, you know, is genuine about it. But then he instantly, like, walls back up. Like, he's scared to show weakness. He's scared to show fear or sadness. And it's always been something that I've noticed about my dad, because when my grandpa passed away, it was the same thing. Like, all his brothers were crying and everything. My dad was just, he was just there. Like, he wouldn't shed a tear. And, like, it's one of the things I talk about my wife a lot is that I always wonder if my dad actually talks to my mom about his emotions and his feelings, right? Because every time I see him as a strong man, someone that doesn't really show emotion. You know, it wasn't until, like, recently that he's told all myself and my brothers that he loves us. Like, it's just, he's slowly shifting, but I always see that in him where he's very hard to open up and show emotion. So I wonder if he feels safe to talk to my mom about it. I wonder how he deals with emotions in general. Like, I've always wanted to just sit down and talk to him about it, but I feel like he'll pull up his defenses and kind of shut the conversation down. And it's made me think a lot, like, and that's actually bringing us to my question that I had for you today, which was, do you believe in mental health, and have your parents always believed in it? Or have they been like my parents, where my dad always says that depression is bullshit, you know, it's not a real thing, you just gotta shut up and work and live through it. And my mom, until recently, you know, she's become more open to the idea of depression and anxiety. She's been a little more open-minded about it, but for the longest, she didn't believe in it either. So my question to you was, have your parents always been like that, or...
I don't exactly know if, because I'm trying to think back, my dad didn't really show much of emotion. He did a lot of, like, nice gestures. Me and him never really had that open conversation. I think we do a little bit more now, but I also know that there's a little bit of a language barrier, because, you know, he primarily speaks Spanish. And he knows English, but it's a very broken English. So sometimes it's kind of hard, I guess, for me to explain certain things and see if he actually understands it. Because I don't know his level of understanding. I know his level of speaking. But there have been times where, like, I'll sit there in English. And it's only because, like I've said before, I learned Spanish when I was young. It was my first language. Went into school. And it wasn't really strongly forced, like most Hispanic households. Like, when you're at home, you speak Spanish.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't have that growing up. It was kind of like, you're free to speak whichever language you want to. Of course, my dad took it as, I'll learn English through you. Right. And I probably should have put more the effort of, let me learn Spanish through you. Sometimes I can, when I'm not thinking too hard about Spanish, I can speak almost perfect Spanish, very fluent Spanish. But when I think about it too much, my English kind of takes over in my head and I don't know the translations to say what I want to say in Spanish.
Okay.
So sometimes we'll have conversations where he's speaking Spanish to me. I completely understand everything that he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say things in English and, you know, he understands. Like, I can see that he understands a lot more English than he can speak. So now that he's older and now he's more time here at home and everything, he's more open about certain things and we talk about certain things. But I've always had the emotional support more from my mom.
Gotcha.
I don't exactly know how it came about, but I mean, my parents growing up, like, they never really kept anything from me. Like, they talked to me like I was like an adult. Like, this is happening because this happened. This is happening because this is happening. Like, you know, losing the home that I grew up in because my mom lost her job and we couldn't keep up with the bills, kind of thing, right? They didn't sugarcoat it like, we're getting a new house, we're moving, you know. They didn't do anything of that. I mean, I've kind of seen like a lot of their ups and downs, but the one thing growing up is I never seen them argue.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have like little fights, but I can see that the fights are mainly like, he's stressed out, she's stressed out. They're just kind of like snapping at each other just because they're both overwhelmed. So it really doesn't get vicious or anything like that. But as far as like emotions and stuff, I think like with my mom, I've had a lot of conversations about like, not really anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more of like nervous, sad, because we didn't have words for it, right? We didn't know any of that existed or anything like that. It's just like, whenever I'm feeling a certain way, sometimes they pick up on it and they're like, what's wrong? And we talk about it, right? Okay. And like, even my dad would sit there and be like, you okay? Even though we didn't have that constant communication kind of bond, because growing up, he also did work like 2 or 3 jobs.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until like maybe like high school that I started getting more time spent with my dad, because he had a job that allowed him to come home at reasonable hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to see him more.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I mean, most of the time my dad just says, you know, like for certain things, he says, you know, sacrifices have to be made, you know. It sucks, but you know, you have to do it for the better of the family sometimes.
Yeah.
And I can see that he doesn't exactly regret having to work so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like he might regret missing out.
He thinks about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's trying to make up for it now. But also specifically like with Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Like since Dylan moved in, he's kind of doing a lot with Dylan. Not only because he sees himself with, like, in Dylan, like, not growing up with, like, his mom, his grandma raised him, and his aunt also raised him. So his mom wasn't really that much in the picture. She was more focused on, like, his younger brother, because that was the favorite. And then his dad was a drunk. But I guess you can say he kind of fit with that stereotype where it was, like, you work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk about anything. You work through it. But he became very alcoholic. And he worked so much that I think the highest education he had was 3rd grade.
Damn.
Yeah. Like, he didn't know how to read or write. So from what my dad told me recently, that he remembers that my dad didn't have to grow up poor. Right? Apparently, my grandpa actually had, like, an estate from his parents.
Damn.
But because he didn't know how to read or write, someone came and said, hey, I'll give you like $150 sign this paper for something else. He come to find out that he lost the three houses that they had.
Dang.
Yep. But he was so, but he was also so, I guess you can say he had an addiction to alcohol.
Yeah. That
at the time, he didn't really care.
Yeah.
When he sobered up, I could see that he was full of regret. But as far as like me growing up in my family dynamic, I mean, everything was kind of like out in the open. There wasn't labels as far as like depression, anxiety, none of that. None of that really came in until like we learned more about it from like Nicole and her siblings and everything they went through, like some of them, they actually went to therapy and stuff. And then we're just like, okay, so that's what depression is. Okay. That's what anxiety is.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's where I sit there and I'm like, yeah, I have anxiety. Yeah. I might have depression, but I've never sought like professional help. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because again, like my family dynamic is if you're feeling a certain way, you express yourself.
Yeah. See, that I feel like that's what kind of where our family dynamics were different. Because with my family, it was always like, you know, figure it out. At least from my dad's side, it was always just like, you know, you're feeling some type of way, figure it out, get through it. You know, don't make excuses for yourself. Work through it.
Yeah.
You know, be tough. And then for my mom, you know, my mom grew up a very hardy woman as well. Because they grew up very poor and they started working at a young age. So she had a very similar mindset. She was a little bit easier to talk to, but she still wasn't like all available a lot of the times when it came to talking about emotions. Now she's a lot more open about it, obviously, because she's learned through it, learned about it, especially with, you know, myself and my two brothers. And like, it's funny because now me and my older brother, like we take therapy, we, you know, learn to express ourselves that way. And we talk about it within ourselves, how, you know, not having that support really does something to you. Because I struggle with, you know, dealing with my emotions. I struggle with opening up. And it's weird because sometimes, like, I'll feel some type of way and not even realize I'm feeling some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just shut down. I'll shut everyone out and just, like, focus on just working it.
Yeah.
Like, my mindset just goes work, work, work. You know, you're too broke to be able to even worry about emotions right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, the philosophy I grew up with, which I find crazy. And that's one of the things, like, I always talk about. I always talk to Nandia about where it's like, I want to break that for, like, when we have kids and stuff. I don't want them to be scared to, you know, tell me, hey, I feel depressed or, hey, I feel anxious. Because, I mean, I myself, you know, over the past years, I've been diagnosed with ADHD, you know, realize that I am severely anxious about everything. It's what makes me the person I am and why I try so hard at certain things, why I have such an addictive personality, and also why, like, I excel at certain things because I get really anxious about doing bad that I push myself to do the very best I possibly can. That's why I became a good mechanic, to be honest. I mean, you remember when I would rebuild an engine or transmission, never turned it on before I went to lunch, or it was close to lunch, or before the end of the day, because if not, I'd think about it all fucking night or all throughout lunch.
Yeah.
It's just the way my brain works. But, like, going to therapy, which, if you've never been, I highly recommend it. At least try it, like, a couple times, because it really does help break down certain things in your brain, in your mind, or things that you don't even realize until you start talking about it to someone. But again, you have an open family dynamic, so it might be a little bit easier for you rather than me.
Yeah, I also don't know. See, so I feel like your dynamic was because both of your parents are very, like, actually Mexican, from Mexico. My mom was born there, kind of grew up there, but she was more in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way, like, she grew up and saw things was different. Then the, you know, the wake up and grind, work through everything kind of like thing. But also the other thing that I realized, like, listening to, like, when my dad has opened up about, like, the way he grew up and the things that he went through and everything, I realized that you know how, like, for you, you're going to break the generational curses, right?
I'm trying.
Right? And, yeah. No, you're going to, right? Because that's your goal at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Because you want them, like you said, you want them to come to you and not be afraid to talk to you or express any kind of emotions, right?
Yeah.
So I want that as well. But I realize that I'm not the one that broke the generational curses, mm-hmm. right? It was actually my dad.
Yeah.
Because my dad grew up with, like, everything that you did, you would get hit.
Mm-hmm.
You'd get yelled at, right? You get some kind of, like, unusual punishment that was, like, physically, like, painful, right?
Yeah.
And for him, he said that when he had me, he didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad has only hit me maybe twice in my life. And that's probably because I actually deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was the one that mainly did the whipping.
Yeah.
But even then, my dad didn't like it. Yeah. Right. Even now with, like, Dylan and stuff, when he gets in trouble, like, no matter what, he doesn't like seeing him being in, like, timeout or being put mm-hmm. in his room, you know, like, oh, go to your room. You're talking back or whatever. He doesn't really mm-hmm. like that. He likes... He wants to talk to him about it more.
Yeah.
And try to get the point across of, like, look, this is why you're getting in trouble, because you did X, Y, and Z, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Next time you really need to think about what you do, and maybe this won't happen again. Right? He's very... Yeah,
it's taking a different approach to it.
Yeah. And he was kind of the same way with me, but, you know, me growing up, I was stubborn. I didn't mm-hmm. listen to it. It was just like one ear out the other.
Yeah.
Right? But... with my family dynamic, I came to realize that a lot of the things that my parents said growing up, I wouldn't listen to it, but it'd still kind of be in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain things that happened. And I would literally go back and be like, hey, guys, you were right. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. Right? Mm-hmm. Y'all told me not to take this approach. I still took it. But you said, look, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to go along with it, fine. You keep doing what you're doing. But it's going to happen. Right? Yeah. And then I would see it happen and I'm like, okay, you're right. You were right. I apologize. Yeah. You know, I didn't mean to put y'all through that, but I apologized.
Yeah.
And that happened several times throughout my life.
You know, that's so funny because, like, as I get older, I've realized me and my dad have become friends, which is something like that. For the longest time, you can ask anyone that's known me and my dad for a long time. For the longest time, especially when I was younger, like, me and him couldn't be in the same room for more than 5 minutes without us arguing or something. And it trips me the fuck out because, like, the more I get older, the more I realize, like you said, you know, you said your dad broke the generational curses. And I always say I want to break the generational curses for my family. But my dad broke one of the biggest generational curses, which was being present for his family, because he grew up. His dad was around when he was a kid, but then he, like, left. Mm-hmm. And my dad and his dad didn't reconnect until I was born, which was, like, when he was, like, in almost his 30s.
Damn.
So it's crazy because you said that, and it reminded me of that. You know, my dad has broken generational curses already, and we're just trying to take it to the next level, right? But it blows my mind that me and my dad have become, like, pretty close now, and as I get older we come closer and closer, because I realize, like, the shit he used to tell me, just like you were saying, you know how you apologize to your parents, the shit me and my dad used to argue about, like, it was life lessons that he was trying to teach me that I just wasn't hearing at the time. And it's so crazy how much I've come to appreciate my dad for all the things he's done. And, like, the more I have conversations with him, the more I understand that, you know, at the end of the day, he was just trying to do his best. And that's all he could do. He was doing his best. He was trying to figure things out as he went. And, you know, me and him talk a lot about that because, like, I always joke around, right, that my parents were in a cult and we were all part of the cult at church. And I still bring it up to him all the time. And he every time I've talked to him about it, like, as recent, he always apologizes about it. And he always tells me one thing where he's like, you know, at the time, I thought that was the best move, you know, and you can't fault me for thinking that was the best thing for my family and trying to do the best for them. And he's like, it was like, it puts me in a worse spot because I'm like, damn, you sure are right. Yeah, it's in a cult, but you're right. Like, you were just doing the best you could, you know, what you thought was best. And that's crazy. It's crazy getting older and being Hispanic and, you know, seeing how our Hispanic parents are shifting their ideologies as well, you know, and evolving with us and growing with us. But my dad still to this day just doesn't believe in depression. Like, he's like, I don't know if that's really true.
I mean, there's a chance that he believes, like, you know, yes, it is a mental game, but maybe you can mentally flip something.
Yeah.
And not be that way. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, yeah, well, it kind of goes to, like, it's a sign of weakness, but he's probably like, it's could be like a moment in your life that once you get through it, you know what I mean?
I mean, I understand it though, right? Because like, it's a mental toughness that you have that not a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And it'll sometimes push you to do things that, you know, you really didn't want to do because you have that mental toughness. And you're like, fuck it, I got to do it. I got to get through it. You know, and sometimes having that mental toughness and being able to turn shit off, like emotions off and just powering through something is useful, right? Yes. Like, it could be very useful. It can get you out of tough situations. But at the same time, it's like, it's not healthy to do. Right, I mean, one really quick, simple thing of mental toughness that I pulled away from it was when I got COVID. I was fucking dying at work, but I was like, I'm not going home. I have to work.
I was yelling at you to go home. Right. I even went to our first aid kit, found a disposable thermometer, and stuck it in your mouth and told you have a fever. Take your ass fucking home.
I still didn't go.
No, you just said, hold on, open the toolbox drawer. I have Advil. Let me pop four of these suckers and keep going. And I'm like, no.
But again, it was a time where
I even took you out for soup.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes it's a good thing to have because, like, obviously in those times I needed to work. I was fucking broke. I was trying to get out of a situation.
Yeah.
Right, so like the mental toughness was there, where I was like, "Fuck it, I feel like I'm dying, but I'm just gonna push through the day, and if I die, I die."
Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
Sometimes,
but it's not really ignorance; it's more like stubbornness. Stubbornness, bliss. Just to push through it.
I mean, sometimes it's a terrible thing, right? Like another example of me being too mentally tough for my own good was when I hurt my back in a car accident. I never stopped working. I literally worked through a herniated disc. You know, and it never recovered the way it was supposed to recover because I just never stopped. Right. So, I mean, there's good and bad in it, but obviously it's not a healthy way to live.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the habit.
Kind of like, I guess another like a family dynamic kind of thing, kind of going back to like not showing weakness was growing up. I went to, like, a lot of funerals because a lot of my family members were actually up in age, or some had heart attacks, some had strokes, you know. It's a thing that happens in my family. Like on my mom's side, diabetes, heart attacks, and strokes are notorious. Like, my mom's grandma had, like, 4 heart attacks and 3 strokes.
You want to know a crazy fact about diabetes? Did you know that a diabetic is more likely to die of a heart attack or a stroke than someone with high blood pressure?
We also have high blood pressure. So.
But I'm just saying.
Genetically, I'm kind of fucked.
You're in the fucked pool. I gotcha.
Yeah. But, thank God I've been healthy. But anyway. But,
I have a friend that could help you out with that. Her name is Jasmine from Raw Holistics.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Jesus Christ.
I mean,
I opened that door, obviously, because I mentioned it earlier. I opened that door. It's all coming back to me. It's full circle. So, I kind of always wanted to be that strong person in the family. Mm-hmm. So, at a young age, I kind of learned how to, like, switch off my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I can basically flip the switch and feel absolutely nothing for however long I want to. Mm-hmm. And I can flip it back on and kind of feel like no recoil from it.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking back to it, I think I did it a lot more in high school. And thinking back into high school, I had the switch off for so long that I believe senior year or like after graduating, I flipped it back on. And I felt like the recoil of compartmentalizing. Like having everything so condensed that it exploded in my face. And I'm trying to work through and cope through all of that stuff. So the flipping the switch helped me through a lot, but at some point I believe it broke me mentally, that now I'm happy, right? And I guess you can say that it's depression or anxiety. But like I said before, there's times where unexpectedly I disassociate. So, like, for instance, if I go to a barbecue that you're hosting.
Which you don't.
I did a few times, right? I did last year's Easter, okay?
Yeah.
At that point, no biggie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Went to my buddies with my other two best friends. Drank with them most of the night. No issues. But there are times, specifically, like, family events that I've noticed that if I go to Thanksgiving, I will hyper-focus on something, disassociate, and try to, like, fast-forward time to get through it.
Bro, I feel you on that.
Yeah.
And doing that is a motherfucker.
And what's even worse, too, is I also do it, like, subconsciously. Mm-hmm. When there's, like, certain periods of times where I have to wait, I grab my phone. And I'm disassociating through my phone.
Yeah.
To fast forward time.
Bro, so talking about that, you know, as of late, I've been having a lot of anxiety about work. Because, obviously, I'm doing a job that I'm not great at. And I'm used to being the best at what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it that way, but I'm just... There's something in my brain where I constantly have to try to be the best at everything I do.
Yeah.
It has to do, it's something to do with my upbringing. It's the way my dad was with us and whatnot. And I've always been taught to do the very best at everything you do. Like, be the best at it. Try to be the best at it. Go balls in, 100 miles per hour, you know, or nothing.
Yeah.
And I do that with everything in life. I do that with podcasting. I try to be the best at what I do. You know, I give them my 100% all the time. I mean, sure, I burn out sometimes and, you know, I get inconsistent, but I always try to do my best. But same thing with my marriage. Like, I try to be the best husband I possibly can. Sometimes, like, I go overboard and I burn myself out on that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way my brain works. I have to try to be the best. Right. And because I haven't been the best at my job, because I'm still learning how to fucking do it, I'm still really new to it, you know, there's days where, especially, like, I've noticed this on the weekends, that I'm so fucking anxious about not being the best that I think about my job nonstop. Kind of like when I used to fix tractors, and I used to always think about tractors. So, like, in the weekends, when I notice that it's getting close to, like, the end of Sunday, I get super anxious. I get, like, this severe anxiety where I just start disassociating, and I try to stay up as long as I can because I don't want the day to end, because I have this dread of waking up on Monday morning and having to get back at it. And it's terrifying in a lot of ways, because it's like, fuck, I don't want to wake up. Like, and I don't know if it's just anxiety or if it's depression or if it's all of the above. But, like, one thing I've been doing to try to combat that is, like, I started waking up earlier to go work out. And while I'm working out, I'm listening to, like, affirmations, you know, I'm listening to morning prayers, listening to worship music. I'm trying to pray through it every fucking morning. You know, I pray, I wake up, I'm like, dear God, you know, help me take this day as a new day, a new beginning. And every single day I've been doing this like clockwork. slowly but surely, that feeling of anxiety is slowly fading away. But there has been days, dude, where, like, I didn't eat. You remember when I told you I was all stressed out? Mm-hmm. I wasn't eating. I wasn't, like, drinking water. I wasn't sleeping. I was just so fucking anxious, dude. And it was the first time in my life that I ever felt the pressure of being a provider for my family, for my wife, for my pets. And knowing that if I keep slipping, I can lose my job and not be able to provide.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most terrifying, anxiety-inducing, depressive episode I've ever had since I've been married. I've been through some shit. Like, I've told you before, like, me and my wife almost got divorced right off the jump. My dumb ass. But nothing has affected me as much as possibly losing my fucking job. And it's crazy because I went through a full depressive episode, and then I just, one day I woke up, I was like, stop being a bitch. You know, I could literally hear my dad telling me, stop being a bitch. We'll just work through it. You can get through this. And then, you know, my wife was honestly, like, the best part about it, because she talked me through everything every day, and, you know, kind of got me back into praying and stuff. But to be honest, dude, it's, mental health's a crazy thing. it's crazy that it's
grown more in these last couple of years.
The craziest thing is when you look at the statistics, right? Like, I think it's what, 80% of depressed people are men. That have families.
Yeah.
90% of all suicides are grown-ass men that just weren't hurt. And it just, fuck, man. It makes me, like, this is why I'm so big on therapy, and I'm so open about, like, I go to therapy and this and that. And I try to tell all my friends about it, because that's the last thing I want to do is get a phone call and be like, hey, you know, so-and-so called it quits. Right? But, man.
I'm trying to see, because you saying that, Alan Richardson,
mm-hmm.
He plays Jack Reacher on Amazon Prime's show.
Uh-huh.
I recently watched a clip, and I say recently, but that was like probably like 2 months ago, where he was talking about he literally attempted to hang himself,
mm-hmm.
on a set, and he was talking about that it was insane because, you know. You know, being a provider, this, that, and the other. You know, it's crazy that, you know, him growing up, depression, he's like, oh, that ain't gonna be me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I kind of had the same thing too, right? Growing up, it's like, depression's like this off, like, far away thing, yeah. Kind of thing. Like, it's not gonna happen, right? The same thing with, like, anxiety. And it's crazy that he sat there and said that when he was attempting, that his mental state was that it wasn't focusing on anything, but it was like seeing as him doing it is a gift to the world. The world would be better off without him.
Yeah.
Right. And I related to that quite a bit because I've had those,
mm-hmm.
right? I've had those thoughts before,
mm-hmm.
and what's crazy is that, and I believe it's because of my family dynamic, me thinking that I will, mm-hmm. think it, get really sad about it, really depressed about it, you know, really beat myself up over it, which I do a lot. I beat myself up for a lot of things, but really pound it into my head, and there's always these moments where I think back, yes, to yourself, you feel like it'd be a gift to the world. And I think it's mainly because I've been through so many funerals that, mm-hmm. then I sit there and be like, but think about what happens when you're gone.
Yeah.
Who's it going to affect?
Yeah.
You're like, your mom's going to cry, your dad's going to cry, you know, your wife's going to cry, your cousins are going to cry, right? Mm-hmm. Your best friends are going to cry. And you're sitting there like, and I have a very, I don't know how to, I guess you can say, like, a very vivid, like, daydreaming kind of thing. So sometimes when you tell me stories and you go on about these stories, in my head, I can vividly, like, picture, mm-hmm. like, it happening. Like, I'm watching a movie, but I'm listening to you, the way you're saying it and everything. Like, I can picture it. And I do that a lot when I beat myself up. So, me thinking that in my head, I can picture every individual crying.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what kicks me out of that mental state. Like, I kind of, like, reset myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I got you.
I don't have those thoughts anymore, but that was, like, way back when. And it kind of clicked. Like, when you're sitting there saying, like, you're a provider and everything. And then that, you know, 80% of men are committing suicide and everything. Yeah. And it's the mentality of, like, it's kind of like the sickness that you believe that it's going to be a gift to the world, right? You feel like you are failing, right?
Yeah.
And you think that the solution, the only solution you can come up with, because you believe that you are responsible to be the provider, protector, and everything, you believe that if you go away, everything will resolve itself. You believe you're the source of all the problems. But in reality, it's not like that.
Yeah.
But when he said that in the interview, I was just like, dude, that's kind of crazy. When I think back at it, that you're not upset about how you're feeling. It's more of you believe that the solution to all the problems are, if you go away, it's a gift. And looking at that perspective, I'm like, dude, that's kind of crazy, because you don't think about that when you're in the middle of it. Like, that's not the solution. Why are you thinking that? You don't know why you're thinking that.
It's just an intrusive thought. Like, yeah, it's in your brain.
And it's insane, because, you know, it kind of goes back to, like, studying more mental health and everything.
You know what, of where you're at, it really makes me think, because when we had Jasmine on, she asked me about, like, Hispanic culture, right, and how we're all alcoholics. And that's one of the things that I really think about a lot now. It's how, like, depression's a real fucking thing, but in Hispanic culture, like, we don't believe in depression. We don't believe in anxiety. We're like, we don't accept it, right? But what's the one thing we fucking do? We drink our sorrows away. We drink our pain away. We literally, like, this is our depression. Like, beer is our depression. Alcohol is our depression.
And you're that's a fucking walking stereotype. God damn it.
Well, I mean, I enjoy beer. I enjoy beer. Like, I no longer drink because I'm depressed. I only drink when I'm happy.
Although I find you a little strange, because you're drinking Dos Equis from a can, because I think it tastes funny coming out of a can.
It tastes a little different. I'm not going to lie.
Glass bottles.
You get the metallic taste.
Yeah, but I don't like it.
I don't mind it. That's what my wife bought me today, so that's what I'll do.
It's like a reward.
It is like a reward. But, like I was saying, like, I don't drink anymore if I'm sad. Like, I made a rule that it's part of my, like, recovery from alcoholism, is I have a rule. I don't drink when I'm sad. I don't drink alone. Right? Like, this doesn't count as alone because you're on the other side of the camera.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't drink when I'm sad. I don't drink when I'm alone. And if I'm playing video games and drinking, I'm only allowed 2 beers.
This is my choice of drink. Goddamn nonsense. Concentrated degreaser.
But it really makes you think, right? Like, we have so many fucking alcoholics in our culture, and it's because of that reason, because we don't accept, or not we, but, like, the older generation doesn't accept anxiety, doesn't accept depression, right? And their way of coping is drinking. You get drunk, you forget it for a moment, you wake up, you drink again the next day because you want to forget all your sorrows. And it really makes me want to find more people to talk to and have interviews with that study mental health, but not in, like, white culture and Hispanic culture. Like, I want to learn more about why it affects our culture so fucking much, right? Because obviously mental health's a huge thing nowadays, but why is it that our culture's so prideful and stubborn that doesn't accept?
Yeah, because, I mean, I think there's, like even on some shows, like telenovelas and stuff back in the day, like, she has depression, right? Like, a character in the show has, like, a depression. And the response from the other characters is she's just mentally insane.
Yeah.
You know, she's crazy. She's not depressed.
Or she's just pretending,
you know,
right?
She's just pretending for attention.
Yeah.
The number one excuse for attention.
Yeah.
She just wants attention.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of like thinking back, you know, like I was saying a while ago, it's kind of crazy because in the moment you're not thinking of anything like that, but yet it's painted. You only want attention.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, it's kind of like crazy. It's kind of like no, not at all. I'm not even thinking about you. I'm not even thinking of the people around me.
Right.
I'm just within myself.
Right.
But it's kind of crazy that it's painted as, oh, you're either mentally insane or
but you want attention. It's crazy how your brain's like your own worst enemy, right? Like, but that's another part of my new thought process of trying to live intentional and be a happier person. I no longer try to put negative thoughts out there. So if I have a negative thought, I don't ever verbalize it, because I'm very much a believer of what you put out there is going to come back. Right? So if you give off negative energy, it's going to come back to you. But it's crazy because your brain is like your own worst enemy. Like my wife's been stressed out about school and like not passing her class. And I was like, look, as long as you study, you know, you put in the work, you're going to pass. It's a given. You put in the work, you study, you stay dedicated to it, you trust the process, things are going to work. But when your brain starts telling you can't do it, you know, or your brain tells you, oh no, you're going to choke, you know, you're not good enough. Like that's where your own brain stops you. It's what stops so many people from being great in life or achieving their goals in life is that their brain tells them you can't do it. Right. And that's one of the things that I've tried to live myself, my life this way, where it's literally just like Nike says, just fucking do it. Whatever you want to do, pursue it, trust the process, work for it. I mean, it's not going to happen if you just try it one day and then give up, right? You got to trust it. You got to work through it. You got to push through it. You got to trust the process and just fucking do it. And it's going to work. I mean, look at this podcasting thing, right? 3 months ago, we couldn't even get 200 views on anything. What did we hit last month?
5,900 and something.
5,900 views across all platforms. That's not adding them all up. That's on each fucking platform. We had 5,900 or more. Right? And what was it that we changed? We changed our mindset. We changed the way we do things. We became more consistent. And we trusted the fucking process.
Yeah, it got a little depressy in some episodes, but yeah.
But it worked out, right? Because we were consistent. We pushed through and trusted the process.
Yes.
I broke my laptop. You picked up the editing. It's worked out fucking great. I mean, look at it. We're achieving our goals. Actually, I got a couple emails from people that want to be guests on here, so I got to go through those at some point this week.
Yeah.
But we're doing it, bro.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, for anyone that's listening, if you are doubting yourself or you don't believe in yourself or you're letting your mind get the best of you and telling you you can't do it, tell that piece of your mind to shut the fuck up. Go out there. Figure out what you want to do, how you want to do it, and fucking do it. You know, don't just sit on it.
Speaking of that, also, because you're last two episodes, you've been saying, you know, having amazing wives is a game changer. The movie, I think it's Flaming Hot. It's about Hot Cheetos.
Yeah, like
Hot Cheetos came around.
Yeah.
There's a scene where, and I forget his name, but the guy that came up with Hot Cheetos idea, is getting into an argument with his dad, right?
Yeah.
And it gets to a certain point where, you know, he says, I hear your voice always in my head knocking me down, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a part where his wife sticks up for him and everything and then says, let's go put my voice in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I related to that quite a bit because now a lot of my issues, you know, instead of relying like on my parents to vent and everything, I'm venting more to like Nicole.
Yeah.
And she gives me different perspectives and or just even just hears me out. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the same thing applies to you, right? So I take it as having an amazing wife is that she silences the voices in your head and puts her voice in your head.
Whoa.
And that's crazy. That was fucking deep, bro. I can be deep, bro.
I like that one.
I can be deep.
Riverside, cut the clip. I really like the way you said that, though. Oh, it's true, though.
Oh, it's I'm on the verge of tears.
That's true, though, dude. Having an amazing wife, an amazing spouse, or just a significant other, to be that positive voice in your head can move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so crazy what having that one person in your life can do for you and what you can do for them.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not even a spouse for some people. Some people, it's like their best friend, their brother, their sister, you know? Yep. So, like, whenever you're going through something, if you can't get that voice to quiet down, you know, reach out.
Reach out. Don't be scared to reach out, dude. There's going to be someone that's willing to listen to you and give you great advice. Or not even give you advice. Just be there to listen to you. Be there to, you know, be that shoulder for you to cry on. You know, sometimes you got to break down to your homies. I mean, right? It's a thing. Sometimes you have that brother, you have that sister, that cousin. You have someone. Like, honestly, I'm a firm believer that one person can do a lot. One person can do a lot. But when you have a team, when you have a support system, when you have the right people around you to not only be like positive influences in you, but that are like-minded like you, and also people that will contest you, that's what will make you the great person. That's what will help you achieve and unlock that next level in your life. You know, it's like this whole podcasting thing. Just to make it real simple, me myself by myself, I could only go so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize if I have a team with me, you know, good friends with me, positive influences with me that are willing to do this with me, like, we can level up. And it's worked out perfectly, right? Like, I brought you on, you've taken on the editing aspect. I get to think more about, like, how we're going to handle interviews and worry about the booking, worry about, like, having quality content. And we're reaching that next level, yeah. Right? And having, like, our support systems, like, my wife gives me feedback on this podcast. She'll tell me when the episode's ass. Like, she does not hold back. She will tell me this one wasn't it, right? But just find someone that's a good support system for you. Build that support system for yourself. You know, find people that you trust. Have a tight inner circle. You don't have to have a lot of people in your circle. You know, 2, 3, 1, whatever makes you happy, that's what you need to have.
Yeah.
And have positive influences around you, right? Hang out with people that are smarter than you. Hang out with people that are richer than you. Hang out with people that have goals that are similar or better than yours. Because that'll only make you a better person.
Yeah.
Right?
But you also have to be not afraid to show the vulnerability.
You know, I don't think it's be afraid. It's okay to be afraid. I think it's you gotta be willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's okay to be scared.
Yeah.
It's okay to you know, double think it. It's okay to struggle with it. But you gotta be willing to try.
Yeah.
Because no change happens without you be entering with an open mind and willing to change. And willing to improve and willing to grow.
Yeah, it also kind of goes back to, like, kind of just to put it simply, let's say you want straight A's in school. Yeah, you can speak it into existence, but if you don't sit there and
put the work in,
you know, do the stuff that you got to do, it's not just going to magically appear. You, unfortunately, life is, you have to work towards it. Mm-hmm. You have to put some type of effort to get something back.
That's why I say you gotta work at it, you gotta trust the process, and you gotta believe in yourself.
Yeah.
If you do those three things, it's not gonna happen overnight. It's not gonna happen in a month. It might, if you're lucky, but it's not gonna happen in a month. But if you work at it, you believe in yourself, and you trust the process, you're gonna achieve whatever you're trying to achieve. And it's not gonna be easy. Like, by far, not. My mom always said that, you know, the greatest things in life cost. And she meant that not just in the monetary value, but in the sacrifice value. And I believe that 100%. The best things in life will always be challenging to obtain or will cost a lot. But they'll be worth it at the end.
Yep. Like in the words of Lord Farquaad, some of you may die, but that is a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
God damn. Yeah. Oh, shit.
But on top of that, before we end it, you know, trust yourself, believe in the process, believe in yourself, you know, that what you're saying. Aside from everything bad that he did, if you look at Hitler, he accomplished a lot with, like, two scientists.
And with no money.
With no money. They accomplished a lot. Yeah.
And no ammunition either.
Yeah, yeah. Don't use him as an example for everything that he did. I'm just saying, as an example, this man came from nothing and with a small circle almost took over the world.
Yeah.
That in itself is an achievement to show that anything is possible.
Yeah, I agree. Probably not the best example to make.
It's probably not.
But you know what? You know what's fucked up about this? If you start, everything's going to go south and up. So someone used AI to translate one of his speeches, right?
Yeah.
That he gave. And I was listening to it, and I was like, you know, this kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I was like, he's got away with words.
I was like, no, I can see. I can see why he convinced so many people. He was very convincing and charismatic with his words.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also very, like, proud of Germany, dude. Like, I think that's where, the more I listen to that one speech, I'm like, I can see why people, like, followed him. He had, like, a crazy pride for Germany, a love for Germany. And he convinced the people that felt the same way as him that, you know, the Jews were bad people, that they were taking all their stuff, which I don't want to get into it too far. I don't want to get political, but...
Oh, you mean kind of like America, how they say it's the Mexicans taking all the jobs and everything?
No, not even that. But they're just... He made a lot of sense in his speech. I mean, it makes you double think. Like, when you think about it and take it all out of context, like, if you were to remove him and all the fucked up shit he did and just listen to that one speech with the open mind, you're like, okay, I can see where he's coming from.
And that's kind of the crazy thing, too, about him is, like, yes, he did a lot of bad, but if you look at him with an open mind and subtract all the bad things that he did, it's kind of crazy the amount of things that he achieved.
Oh, dude, World War II was the greatest scientific war of all time.
And without, you know, him pushing the boundaries in everything, I mean, we would have not ended up with a jet engine.
Exactly. We wouldn't have had tanks.
Yeah.
Or learned about chemical warfare.
Yeah.
It was all him, dude. He also pursued the Holy Grail and tried to find it.
The nuke wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. Oppenheimer wouldn't have been Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
You know, still been some professor at some school in Germany.
I still need to watch that movie. I think it came out free something. I need to watch it. It's on my it list.
That movie was filmed specifically to be watched on IMAX. Right? So find the biggest TV you can watch it on and get some surround sound when you watch it. That's all I can say. So don't watch it on your 22-inch screen.
Inch. No, I'm not gonna watch it on my computer screen. I'm gonna watch it on my. I think it's a 55. I don't know what size it is. I'm gonna watch it on my.
I saw it on IMAX. It was amazing on IMAX. I saw it regular at the movie theater. I was fucking pissed.
It didn't catch my attention until after I realized it was a World War II movie, and then I was like, "God damn it! I should have gone to watch it."
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It edges you the whole time, though. I won't tell you the ending, but it edges you.
Is that your new word now?
No, maybe. It was on my Wordle today.
You said it a few times. I don't know if you said it live recording, but you said it a few times, and I'm like, no, what you mean, but I have a different mental definition. Yeah, and I'm like, you know, I don't know, buddy.
Wordplay. Wordplay.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And that's all I had for today. You wanted to talk about Twisters, right? We'll save that for another day.
Yeah,
that movie looks fucking
let
stupid.
Let me see if I can watch it, and then we'll talk about it.
Was true the first one or the new one? The new
no,
one
I've seen. I've seen the old one. I've seen the old one.
The new one's like stupid. All they do is added a Twister. It's the same fucking movie. They just added a Twister to it.
They kind of did like a different twist to it. I don't know.
No, they did it. It's the same fucking movie with an extra Twister. I've watched the trailer like 5 times. Like, I've seen the trailer multiple times because I go to the movies like once a week and it always plays. It's been playing probably for the last 3 weeks.
Oh, damn.
Same fucking trailer.
Damn.
No.
No. I'm going to go watch Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it next week when I get the discount Tuesdays.
Yeah, I'm going to try and go watch that probably this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Because we actually got through binging, I don't know if it was this past weekend or the weekend before, we just got through binge-watching all the Planet of the Apes movies. Like, the nice. New ones, not the old ones.
I've seen, it's only 2, right? Or is it 3?
That's 3. It's
some old bitch.
Planet of the Apes.
Rise of the Planet
of the Apes. Oh, no, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Isn't it Rise?
Rise of the Planet of the Apes, I think. And then it's War of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay, that's the one.
And that's the like the first trilogy, and then this one I think is taking up several years after the last one.
After Caesar dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll probably watch it next Tuesday. Just because I get discount tickets on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. That's why I go every week. Half price Tuesdays, baby.
Yeah, go watch that. And then Twister, I'm gonna watch it just to compare it to the old one. Even
bro,
if it
I
is
watched
a,
Kung Fu Panda
almost
yesterday. That show was fucking hilarious.
I haven't seen it. The new one. I haven't seen
that
one. That
shit's so funny, dude.
I don't know if it was a fake trailer, mm-hmm. but I think Despicable Me 4.
Yes, it's coming out in June.
Okay. I need to catch up on the Deadpool movies. I watched the first one, not the second.
Okay.
I believe there's a third coming out.
Yep, with Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I don't. There's another movie, but I don't remember.
I don't know. There's a lot of good movies coming out. I'm excited. But anyways, this has been the Weekly D Podcast. I'm your host, Danny G. That's Mr. AOZ. If you like what you heard, give us a thumbs up, 5-star review on Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, wherever you listen to us. Give us a like. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you like the show. If you want us to talk about certain topics, hit us up. Let us know who you want to see on this podcast next, right? Who's the next guest? We'll let you decide.
Yeah. But, comment that we suck. Don't worry. We'll definitely reply back.
Yeah, I like to catch drift on the YouTubes. So hit us up. Give us 5-star reviews. Let us know if you like what you hear. If not, let us know that you hate us. It's all good. Follow us on Spotify, Amazon, YouTube, Paper Plate Media on YouTube. You can go check out Accidental Chaos on there as well, along with all our shorts. You can check us out also on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, at The Weekly D Pod. We post every single day on all those platforms, so go check that out. You can follow me at DannyG_713. You can follow Alan at Alan_OZ95. Follow The Weekly D Pod. This has been The Weekly D Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Danny G. That's Mr. AOZ. Remember, if you can't get it daily, get it weekly. Peace.